The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. It's Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always. Dan, have you ever noticed Matt always calls on the person with food in their mouth, indigestion, or some...
All I've ever done since we've been on Zoom is start introducing with the top left corner. It's just, it's totally random.
Unreal.
Yes. Otherwise, things are well?
For the most part. No complaints. So
I see Release the Kraken behind your head there.
Yes. For no apparent reason other than why not, you know, so...
Well, of course. Yes. Why did you climb the mountain? Because it was there.
I went through it.
Absolutely. Continuing around the panel here, Professor Beth Oljar is joining us today.
Hey, good to be here.
Hey, what's going on, Beth?
I'm very glad this week is over.
And the shortest week of the semester looming.
Yes.
Oh.
Next week will be very nice because we have Wednesday off too, right?
We do.
So I only have class on Monday. Sweet.
Wow.
For some reason I thought for a second I had class on Wednesday too.
Don't sell yourself short, Beth. There was a very large portion of your and my career where we still had classes on that day.
Yeah. That is true. That is true. So yeah. Yes, I am looking forward to, I don't know why, because I'm going to be reading drafts of papers all weekend. That's pretty much what I'm looking forward to. But still, it'll be nice to have the time off. So
exactly. Someone who's looking at a long list of things as time off is Professor Heather Hill. Wait, you're on sabbatical.
Yes, I am.
So you don't have to show up for class, but you have some work that you're trying to get done.
Yes. All the time.
All the time.
I mean, my sleep.
Wow. I mean, you have one hand like on the keyboard while sleeping?
No. It's not untypical probably of other people that when you're engaged in a deep writing project that you dream about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to say that you brought that up before, Heather, because I told you about this buddy of mine who spent an entire summer to study French living with a Quebecois family. And when he came back to school in the fall, I was like, how was it? He goes, well, I'm dreaming in French now, so I got that going for me. I mean, makes sense that it would get into your subconscious, right?
Speaking of dreams, I should probably tell you that you were in my dreams last night. I just remembered this.
Thanks, Heather, I think.
It just blew into my head that. Cool.
Someone who I just saw reaching for a beverage is Professor Mara Livesey. Just water, right?
It is actually a mocha. So I made myself a latte and stirred some hot chocolate mix right in.
Wow, very nice.
Frankie. Very nice.
I mean, nothing like a 63-degree day to be drinking hot cocoa.
Hey, I've been in my basement all day. It's like 40 down here. So
no, that's the truth.
I deserve a warm beverage.
No, I totally agree. I was freezing my butt off in the basement yesterday because, of course, the furnace is not going on. It's 60 outside, right? So it's just such a weird feeling.
Yep.
It's Michigan.
It's going to be colder the rest of the weekend, though, I think.
I heard snow.
Ooh, I hope so.
Snow is good, but I don't think it's going to be sticking around anytime soon. At least not according to the Farmer's Almanac, which is the official word on all these things. Professor Stephen Manning is joining us today.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon.
From the meadow of retirement.
Mm.
The meadow.
In Clawson.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Hey, something you'd enjoy. We went to the DIA today. They had a show of Detroit style cars.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so it was open. Okay.
Yeah, it's open.
It's open and, you know, limited. You have to sign up in advance and limited
appointment. Yeah.
And everything's very safe, but And you need to do a reservation at a certain time. We went down and really some interesting looking vehicles.
Mm-hmm. So in the DIA itself?
Yeah.
In the DIA itself. Yeah, it's an exhibit. And while there, saw, what was the name of the photographer? Russ?
Russ Meyer?
No.
Oh, I know who, not Russell Weeks, is it? I can't remember. I know who you're talking about.
No, it's Russ. A lot of photos, really, really interesting photos, mostly of Detroit.
Yeah.
Jazz people. Some are from Europe. He went over to Europe in the late 80s. Berlin Wall stuff, things like that, but mostly Detroit-based, really interesting stuff. A lot of factory shots, working-class people, really nice photo show.
And lots of cool cars in person.
Yep.
Oh, my dad would have loved it. He was such a car maniac.
Oh, some really beautiful specimens, yeah.
I'm hoping that show takes off really well because we worked on that show. It was at the Royal Oak Historical Society, at the Scarab Club for the longest time. And they finally got the DIA to approve it. So it's like about time, that's all. So because a lot of those people are like CCS people. You know, one of the original curators of the show was like arguing that cars are rolling sculpture.
Absolutely.
Very cool. But it never gets recognized as sculpture.
I don't know.
The Batmobile, Heather?
Hmm?
The Futura.
Yeah,
Batmobile. Gee,
I don't know how they got them into the museum necessarily, but
they built them there, I'm sure.
This is why automatic cars, auto driving cars, are never going to be. I don't think they're ever going to be the norm in America. I can't imagine it. I cannot imagine a culture as obsessed with cars and driving as ours is, for good reason, ever just willingly turning over the wheel to
automation.
Basically, yeah.
Now, I want to know, like, let's just say 20 years from now, we do have automated cars. What am I going to do with my 54 Chrysler? Can I take it on the road?
You could sell it for a lot of money.
Sell it for a lot of money.
Or am I going to be relegated to, like, horse race track and just kind of drive around that? I mean, I don't know. I mean,
no, because there will always be things, well, eventually, right? There will always be things like the Woodward Dream Cruise and
yeah.
Shows that are essentially collections of old cars. My dad, I mean, we had Model A's, Model T's, everything when I was growing up. So my dad would restore them and then we would go show them at at car shows. So, you know, there will always be, or Jay Leno, you know, if all else fails, sell it to Jay Leno.
Jay will buy you.
Jay will buy you.
Yeah.
Got your back.
We'll see.
Last but most certainly not least, Professor Dan Maggio is also with us here today.
Hi, Matt.
Dan. Dan.
Heather, have I ever been in your dreams?
I don't know. I will start. You know what? I will start keeping a dream log.
Okay. Oh, dear Lord.
There you go.
Maybe have start focus on me before you go to bed, and then maybe I will appear in your dreams.
And I've been.
I will try.
Waiting all week to show you this, you know, you're not going to be able to read it from the camera here, but this article in the latest issue of Chemical and Engineering News, I'm sure you've read it already, but it describes a very interesting prospect where a group of researchers have come up with a robot that can beat a human at curling.
Curling. I've seen the videos of it can repeat the same shot almost perfectly every time.
It says that with this rate of fidelity, robots will win 3 out of 4 matches against live humans in Olympic style curling. Isn't that wild?
For what purpose does this serve?
I'm sure. I don't know.
So what the robot can't do is get a feel for the ice as the stone travels down the ice. And that's where, you know, your sweeping calls come in that it just launches the stone from one end and then hopes for the best. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Matt, here's a question, and Dan, help me out with this. Okay, so the thing can launch a stone, but what about the sweepers?
There are supplementary robots with little brushes that it can communicate with. I didn't see that part.
Oh.
Yes, it's freaky stuff. Freaky AI.
Okay, however, all right.
I go back to Heather. Why?
Well, whether it actually counts as AI, I mean,
I mean,
robot consciousness is
right,
not
right.
obvious to me, but
I mean, would you? That could make a really good martini.
No, there you go.
The robot already exists, by the way. I bet it exists already.
The robots and iRobot can do that.
Right. No, it's true. It's true.
We need, they have robots that will vacuum your floor, but they need one that will clear the snow off your driveway.
Absolutely.
Do they have one of those?
Yes.
It's called an RC car with a plow. I've thought about it too. Don't laugh.
I'll tell you what, folks, this is a program. You can send us questions regarding anything. I like where this is going. So maybe robots in the future. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Speaking of waiting all week to bring something up with the panel, this has been so hot in my mind. I have made no, hiding to the fact that I read the Farmer's Almanac for the last 3 years, and I'm making my way through the 2021 issue because I like to savor it. And I came across, they have a article in every issue. Okay. So this is me sort of coming up with a one question set to start our show. And it's usually on some interesting, amusing thing, just as a framing point. In 2019, the article was about horseshoes and how seriously people take the game and how there's a professional organization and tournaments and things like that. So I open up that would have been, I guess, the 2020 issue because they do it sort of the year before in the fall. So I'm reading the 2021 issue and I come to the amusement section. It's all about professional skipping of stones. Okay. And did you know that the world championship for stone skipping is held very close to where we're all sitting right now?
Oh, of course it is.
Of course it is.
Always.
It's held at Mackinac, okay?
Nice.
And I found that very amusing, being a born and bred Michigander. And then I read a little further. So here we go with our question. The trophy that is given is named after the person who started the tournament. What connection does that person, who is that person, have to the University of Detroit Mercy? Because I'm reading Farmer's Almanac, and it was like,
John P. McNichols?
No, it was not Father McNichols. That's okay. A good guess, though.
They were a student, an employee, a professor, a founder?
Nope. You won't believe me when I tell you. You just won't.
No, they donated the land.
Nope.
Was there a stone named after somebody, or
Nope.
Because you know, there's that controversy with the manufactured stones as opposed to a found stone too.
No, that's right. That's absolutely right. Because one of the central conceits, which I find fascinating as a scientist, is once you find your perfect stone and use it to win. By the way,
gone.
It's gone. Ludicrous world records. Ludicrous. 40 skips from a single, like, how do you even count?
Whoa.
Like, it's incredible.
Physics.
Did they build something out of stone on our campus?
A robot person that could throw it.
This person did something that affects every single person on this Zoom right now.
Wait a minute. We all have this Dennis Rodman at the spelling bee look again right now, don't we? Like, what?
It's a little known fact that Catherine McCauley was a very good stone skipper.
Both her and St. Ignatius.
Yes.
No, Professor
Roy Finkenbein was a judge.
You've done a very good job. Here's Matt pawing through his stupid 2021 Farmer's Almanac. Who still reads it? And I have it printed out right here. Blah, blah, blah. And the trophy is named after blah, 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 who just so happens to have launched what he described as a quirky quiz show called Ask the Professor at the University of Detroit during the 1950s. Bill Raby is the trophy that you get when you are the world champion stone skipper.
Cool. Man, that's nice immortality. That's even better than having a drink named after you.
Now, it gets so much better because not in the Farmer's Almanac. It's only two pages. But I go and I do a little bit of deeper diving. And it's been a while since we've talked about Bill Raby. Just to be clear, he wasn't a faculty member. He was a publicist. So think of him like our, we call Gary. Him Gary, right? Yeah, Gary over in the Fisher Building in Marcom. And he just was always looking for reasons to get people to look at what he wanted them to look at. For instance, I can't even like wrap my head around this. He wanted desperately, upon recognizing the importance of Beatlemania, to get University of Detroit and the Beatles in the same sentence in the media. So he signed up a naive student, Peter Murphy, to be the first president of SOBS, Stamp Out the Beatles Society. Okay? The Beatles show up in Detroit, and one of the Beatles commented on a local radio station, "We're going to start a campaign to stamp out that university." Suddenly, Murphy was public enemy number one nationwide. Okay? This poor student got suckered into this publicity stuff. And that was all Raby's idea.
Stamp out U of, what would have been U of D.
Well, I believe that the idea was that he just wanted to do something kind of trolly to get the Beatles to talk about University of Detroit.
Wow.
And he did it, but he got the student to be his patsy. I think that that is like, it's just crazy.
Man.
Crazy.
But I'm still traumatized by the, okay.
No,
I'm
absolutely.
I have to go to a quiet place and deal with that.
I'm changing my name.
Right.
Yeah.
Deep breath, Steph. It's okay. Deep breaths.
There are multiple other quirks in Bill Raby's past, but the only other one that I think you might be aware of is when he finished his tenure at University of Detroit in the 80s, he moved up to the Upper Peninsula, which I believe would be the connection to the stone skipping tournament at Mackinac. But he was the first publisher of what he called the list of words banished from the Queen's English for misuse, overuse, and general uselessness that Lake Superior State University publishes every year to this day. He was the originator of that list, words that are overused because we see them too much, you know, in popular culture. So Bill Raby, he was, to say he was a trailblazer is putting it lightly is all I'm going to say.
So he was at the university into the 80s?
He worked from, it looks like, the late 50s into the early 80s. Yep.
Really?
It was quite a career.
He would have been there when I was there.
At some point. I believe that's true. Yeah.
Mm. Awesome.
So pretty incredible. Pretty incredible.
Yep. I've never Go heard look. The same, but
for the record, he felt bad. This is one of the other quirks. I mean, I could just go on and on because it's just so funny. He comes up with the idea for the stone skipping tournament. It's not even clear whether he was an aficionado or he was good at it or whatever, but he felt really bad because the little kid's weak arms makes like the kid's world record like 4. It's really sad, like compared to the adult world record. So he came up with an aligned tournament called the Gerlunking tournament, and they record the sound the stone makes when it just goes in the water, and whoever has the best sound wins a trophy that's also named after him.
Wait a minute, is that like an 8th place ribbon?
It's sort of like that. You tried.
Yeah, it's like participant.
Strike from the gutter or something, right?
I actually have some questions here for us to do in today's show.
No,
what are we doing?
Yeah, what do we do on the show again? Are we a quirky quiz show? Dear panelists, I hope this email finds the professors doing well. It's surely an odd time. One of the saving graces of my coping has been my family's affection for games. It struck me that some of these games have some of the most interesting words associated with them. I thought it would make a good topic to compile a list to challenge the profs. It will be up to the profs to guess the name of the game based on clues. I'd like to think the professors could get 12 out of 15. Honestly, Beverly Hollis of Redmond, Washington, I'd like to believe that too.
Oh, Redmond, Washington.
Yeah.
Yes. Beverly has sent us questions many times before. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for sending them in. So what I'm going to do is slowly list the terms from the game, sort of as a slow leak. And let's see how many of these words it takes before you can guess what game I'm talking about. I'd say the vast majority of these are board games, but not all.
Okay.
Safety. home. Slide.
Sorry?
Bump. It's sorry. That's right. Very well done. Heather. Very well done.
Was sorry one of the games with that little pop-o-matic?
Yes.
Sorry is a very contentious game in my family.
What, you guys have full context sorry?
It gets bad.
Oh, I love the fact that you said that, Mara. I love it. Okay, how about flag, scout, bomb?
Stratego?
Stratego, yeah.
Stratego, Stratego.
Good one, Heather.
Heather's two for two.
Because you could execute him, right?
That's right. No, that's right. Actually, it bugged me when one of my older kids got their first whatever Stratego game. It was basically the modern update. I think I had played with a set from the 60s when I was a kid. They reversed the numbers as if it was like too hard to remember that one was the top piece.
Oh, please.
Nine, because seriously? Nine is greater than, yeah, I'm not joking. I'm not joking. It's kind of sad.
Ooh.
How about geography, sports,
trivial pursuit.
That's right. I would have given it away with arts and leisure.
I love Trivial Pursuit.
I love that game too. That's a great game. How about carrier, destroyer,
battleship.
Submarine is the last
battleship.
One. Yep. This is a game that I've never actually seen played, but always looks like tons of fun. A shoe. Coup, as in C-O-U-P, burn, dragon bet.
Well, some sort of poker card game. Mm-hmm.
Right? What, like Paigao poker?
Starts with the letter B, as in boy.
Oh, Baccarat?
Baccarat is what's listed here. Yes, Baccarat. Anybody here ever played Baccarat before?
Dibs.
How about wrench, rope?
Clue.
Operation.
Yeah.
Rope was a giveaway. Lead pipe.
Okay, well, I was game of plumbing. Operation before rope was. Okay.
Yes, let's take the rope out of the person.
That would explain why he needed an operation.
Mm-hmm. Let's get the wrench out of his lung. Ooh.
How about laser cannon, mystery ship, defensive bunker? Aliens.
Whoa. I was going to say Battleship 2000.
Is that a card game?
Like a video game.
It is a video game.
Wait, start over again, Matt.
World of Try Warcraft. Again.
Laser cannon, mystery ship, defensive bunker, aliens.
Oh,
Space Invaders.
Space Invaders, yeah.
Space Invaders. Heather got it. Yeah, that's right.
No kidding.
Yeah, yep. The bunker. That they eat away at with every shot?
Yeah, exactly. And the mystery ship would go back and forth across the top for bonus points and things like that.
Oh.
How about joystick, the ring, the red rocker, the blue bomber?
Red rocker? Sounds like this is another
video game.
Is it Pong?
It sounds like a video game.
It's not a video game. My 12-year-old is right next to me whispering fervently that he knows the answer.
Oh, it's not a video game?
It's essentially a board game, but not in the traditional sense. Do you know what it is, Enzo?
The robot thingies.
Rock'em Sock'em Robot.
Oh, Rock'em Sock'em.
Oh, gotcha.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Nice.
Good one.
You're smarter than us, Enzo.
Give that man a degree.
He's an honorary professor, right? Yeah. There you go. That counts.
That's a PhD right there.
How about spinner? Yellow dot.
Oh, twister.
Mm-hmm. Left foot, red dot, twister. All right, Dan, just for you.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Go ahead.
How about writer's cramp, breadbasket? Charlie horse, wrenched ankle.
Operation.
Yeah.
There you go.
Or just me when I'm sleeping sometimes.
This is a tough one, but I think you can extract what's going on here. Just listen to what these things are. Old Kent Road, Fleet Street Fenchurch Street Station, Mayfair.
Is this British Monopoly?
Yeah. British Monopoly, oh, yeah.
Nice.
They don't use the Mayfair same... is like one of the train stations, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Tony part of London.
Yeah, yeah. As I was thinking you're going to unwrap your Monopoly game like in Britain or something and be like, let's play a game about New Jersey. Like, who cares? You know? I'm not going to care about that. Now, this is a game I've never played, but Professor Libsy, I know that a lot of people are obsessed with playing this game. Full House Threes.
Yahtzee.
Chance. Yes, that's right. It's Yahtzee.
That's what I do when I'm waiting. Actually, we play Triple Yahtzee.
Triple Yahtzee?
Three games at once, basically.
Wow.
Then you add... so. The score of the second game is doubled. The score of the third game is tripled, and you add them all together.
Awesome.
Just more math, basically.
Yeah. Oh,
Beth, it's like those people that can play like 10 games of chess all at the same time. Like, that's awesome.
Well, they're freaks, but I mean, if they can do it without seeing the board, then.
Well, yeah. Is that any different than like those little ladies that can play like 10 bingo cards? Is it like that?
No, because chess involves strategy in a way that bingo does not.
You know, some amount of genius is always tainted with madness. And for the record, I did not make that up. That's straight out of The Queen's Gambit. Yeah. Screening now on your Netflix, so go check it out. All right, one more, and we'll see how long it takes. I don't think it's going to take very long. Turn card. Loner. Screw the dealer. Ace, no face.
Oh, Euchre.
Euchre?
Euchre, yes.
That was my minor at CCS.
Never played it. That's insane.
Really?
You never played Euchre?
Oh, it's the best game.
Okay. I believe you.
It reminds me that my wife and I played a little mental game on a walk the other week that was name an object that if you put it in front of our children, they really seriously would not know what it was, what it did, you know, et cetera. And I stole mine off the internet, but I won in comparison. Leslie just said a VHS tape. And I'm like, my guess is they would recognize that a magnetic tape had some purpose or whatever. I said one of those little aluminum ashtrays from McDonald's, that they would see the McDonald's logo on something that didn't have any obvious functionality and go, what the heck is this thing? And we grew up with those in McDonald's. Yeah. Inspiration for another set of questions for the future, because I'm afraid it's time for us to say goodbye, Stephen.
Bye.
Mara.
Toodaloo.
Heather.
Bruce Springsteen is on the cover of the AARP magazine. That's how old.
Beth.
Ooh. Bruce is the boss.
And Dave.
See ya.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. We're produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Till next time, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.